We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com. We get it. After all the frustration, the endless cycles of hoping for a system that actually works, you're ready for something steady. Something that delivers without constant workarounds or headaches. That's why we're excited to introduce the 2025 redesign of the Buzz CRM. Built with you in mind, it's more intuitive, faster, and smarter than ever. Finally, a CRM that sees your worth, streamlines your workflows, and gives you the tools to thrive without needing to prove yourself over and over again. Because you deserve a lifeline after all those outdated platforms. You deserve a system that keeps up with your goals and grows with your success. This isn't just a redesign, it's a revolution. Visit thebuzzcrm.com today. That's thebuzzcrm.com.
I wanted to end this on a great learning note, and that is that at the end of the year, a lot of us take stock of our marketing campaigns, or we should be. And one of the tools that I love using, I realize it's not the most comprehensive in terms of the data, but it demonstrates a very good ability to sort the data, and that's Bleko. That's a search engine called Bleko, B-L-E-K-K-O. You have to have an account, but when you do have an account there, and it's free, you can do a search. And this search looks like bleko.com/WS, or actually, you just type in the URL, right, John, and then /SEO.
Yes, you can do it with the search results too, not just a URL.
Right. Yes. Yeah. So you go to the search results, or go to the search box in Bleko, type in the domain, put a space, and then /SEO, and it will deliver you all that it knows about the SEO on the site. And there are fantastic graphs. It gives you some really good indication of why, let's say, a competitor is doing better than you are, or what elements they may be doing that you are not doing. They show where links are coming from, you name it. Have you used it much, John?
I'm actually an editor of Bleko for the SEO blog section. So I love that site.
Wow. Editor, man. Nice.
So if anybody has any SEO blogs, they're not listed. The great thing about Bleko is they have these things called slashes. And you can go to Bleko, type /SEO blogs, and it'll give you this list of curated content by the editors. There's a group of us that edit the SEO blogs. And there's like that for all kinds of different categories inside of Bleko. So it's really neat the way that works. And if you know of any SEO blogs not listed in there, shoot me a note and I'll make sure it gets added.
I'm looking for mine.
It should be in there.
Wow, it is good. It's got a very good listing. I really like it. I do wonder how sites like this can stay afloat, but I think it's pretty amazing that what they do with the power they have.
I think that Bleko is kind of considered like the fourth search engine. You know how they talk about Yahoo, Bing, and Google. Bleko's usually the fourth one on the panel when they have all those three together and they add another one. It's usually Bleko.
Hmm. But I've never heard anyone mention it in this, you know, in the realm of just, you know, average Joe.
Yeah, well, I've had people ask me about what's that when they read Bleko on the t-shirt.
Well, that's close.
Yeah.
In any case, I do highly recommend exploring Bleko and these particular tags. I think the /SEO, the /SEO search is amazing. It provides.
Yeah, it's really good for competitive intelligence, like you said. You can actually compare a couple sites in the SEO section, and it'll show you the difference really well.
Yeah, like I just type in www.mashable.com/SEO. And there it goes. It says how many inbound links it has, which is obviously false, but at least it gives me some metrics on what they have because they say they only have 6,000.
Yeah, they don't have quite as deep a crawl as some of the other engines.
Just Barely. In any case, it does show some great data, such as how many infections are duplicated, when it was crawled, pages seen, Google Analytics, the latency, robots information, quite a bit of data. And that's just basic.
And I can tell you, Blecko is probably one of the catalysts that forced Google to do the Panda update. Because before Google even did the Panda update, and you know, Google gets credit for the war on content farms, but Blecko, before that even happened, banned eHow, banned some demand media sites, banned some of these content farms from their index altogether. They just cut them out completely. They made it pretty public, and it wasn't long after that that Google announced the Panda update.
I don't know. I mean, I agree that some of this stuff needs to be cleaned up. There's no question. But, you know, eHow, I find a lot of great content on it. Don't you?
Not once. I'm sorry. Every time I go and I say, okay, let's try eHow because I'm trying to figure out how to do something, it's always totally useless. I've not found one time that I could use that site to give me the information I need to do what I wanted to do. Just that's just my experience.
Well, one thing I noticed here is page one results mentioned that none of his sites are in Blecko because they treat the no archive as a no index. That's bizarre.
That is interesting.
I can't fathom why they would do that.
I think they're shooting for a much cleaner kind of database where they don't just try to crawl everything. They just want to crawl the stuff that they think is valuable and that the users will think is valuable. But you're right. No archive. I can kind of see an argument for that from their perspective. It's like, if you don't want us to keep it in our archive, then we're not going to keep it in the results.
He's got to head out now, but thanks for your participation, Matt. Much appreciated.
Yeah, definitely.
Nice to
did he ever say if his name was Sean? Is that the same guy that I know?
No, he went to ARG when you called him Sean. Right. I'm actually spacing on his name too, so maybe he'll have a second to say it before he leaves. Come on. Well, we better wrap up, actually. You know what? It's the end of the year. We're not going to have another one because it's just too crazy over the next couple of weeks. But I really want to wish everyone who's listening a fantastic holiday season and a wonderful New Year's. And when you come back, we're going to have a fresh new year of great content, far better show structure with less odd breaks and we can only hope. But
I totally agree, Ross. I thank everybody, but I want to thank you for being here too, man. Because this whole thing, my whole year, my whole couple years on the show have been because of you, and I enjoy it because of you. And I don't tell you, I tease you a lot, but I really appreciate you, man.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Well, I was talking to Darren, and you know, I just don't know who else I do it with. So, hug.
Okay, I won't go that far.
Ross, you have no clue. Let me tell you as a producer, okay? That, you know, there was a point where when things started coming across and we wanted to go ahead and bring this, you know, SE101 has been around on the network for a number of years, and this is actually, you know, a relaunch of the show when we brought you on. And I'll tell you what, if it wasn't for Jim Hedger making the recommendation to have you and initially have Jennifer Laycock join on, I didn't expect us to go ahead and get to this point, but I'm glad we did, and I'd love... You know, of all the talks we've had about the radio show, the enthusiasm, just that we have so much left to prove, so much left to conquer, and so many more people to educate, and new people are coming in every day listening in. We're so thankful for them, and I'm really thankful for having you and John together. I mean, you know, things just kind of like just fell into place just like it just happened, you know. Ross, you came in because of Jim, and then John was your suggestion, and, you know, it's worked out perfectly. I can't ask for better.
Well, thank you, man.
Yeah.
A wonderful producer, too, and backslaps all around. This is a really great show, and it's a lot of fun to do. I look forward to it every week.
Yes. Here's a virtual high five.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, to all those who are celebrating Christmas, Merry Christmas. And those who aren't, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. And I know there's a lot of other faces, but I hope you have a great time and get to enjoy yourself. And if you're a wonderful gadget geek like myself, you'll get some great gadgets this Christmas.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, if you want to hook up for our next show, I don't even know what the date would be exactly. I guess it would be the 2nd Or no, it wouldn't be. It would be... No, we're back in the first second. There we are. Okay. On behalf of myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Internet, thanks for joining us today. You can catch our show every Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. And please, by all means, leave your questions or anything on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/SEO101podcast. And you can also email any questions to me, ross@stepforth.com. That's STEPFORTH.com, and reach John via Twitter.
John Carcutt, definitely.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great holidays.
Happy holidays, and thanks for listening, everybody.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Welcome to SEO 101, your introductory course on search engine optimization. So, turn on your computers, open your minds, grab your mouse, and get ready to get back to the basics. SEO 101. SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm is now in session.
Hello, and welcome to SEO 101 on WebmasterRadio.fm. This is Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, and my co-host is John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital. Welcome to my 100th show. I still can't believe it, but
congratulations. It's not mine, but it's getting close.
It's getting there. It's definitely getting
there. But it's been like 2 years. I can't believe we've been doing this for 2 years together, man.
Wow. That's so awesome. I absolutely love it. Yay!
Thank you.
Oh, it's okay. Sit down.
Just throw 10s and 20s.
Or just gadgets. Just throw gadgets at us.
Yeah, but make them soft ones.
Yeah, throw gently, please. I was actually talking to someone today and saying, or email and saying that, you know, if I could and they were soft enough, I'd sleep in a bed of gadgets. Just love them.
Okay. TMI there, Ross.
I know. I love them. I just love them too much. It's just wrong. I'm a perfect example of what's wrong in this world for gadgets. Just can't get enough.
Do you have like a gadget count? Are you a gadget collector? Do you have like this little, do you have like a spreadsheet inventory of your gadgets of when you got them and when you updated them? And are you that geeky?
No. And you don't have the time.
Sleep in a bed of gadgets.
Between that and laziness. But I don't know. So I just love reading about them and finding out what I'm going to get next. And it's really interesting to see just what's changed and what we kind of predicted. Like, of course, I've been waiting for that for like 2 years. You know, this one app.
Well, I saw that camera. I think I texted you a picture of it. I saw that camera you were about that is just totally revolutionizes the way photography works because you can change the focus and everything of an image after you take it. I saw one of those at the Wired store in Times Square a couple weeks ago, and it's very, very odd looking. But the results are amazing. But the camera itself is just like this little square tube. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, that was the one that I had a geekgasm over.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. I can't recall the name. It'll come back to me at the wrong time. But anyways, I think my little boy might be listening to us right now.
Oh, good. Remind me not to cuss.
Yeah. Hi, Xander.
Hey, Xander.
Yeah, we're gonna have a good episode today. We've got a bit of news here to cover. I was trying to get some people on for this. It just didn't end up working. It's just too busy this time of year. It's kind of like the worst time ever to have a 100th episode. But we've got a bit of news, though. One of the things was about Google's – actually, all about Google, I have to admit, except for a hack on Bing, of course.
Bing, just got to throw those in.
And that is that Google has removed the author search from Google News. Interesting. I don't
– they removed – but they replaced it with something. So it's like they've had this for a while, but the thing where you can see other articles by the same author underneath, So you can still do it, but you just can't do it the way you used to be able to do it.
Yeah, to quote them, it says, the author search operator is no longer available. For author-specific Google News content, I would recommend use of the authorship capabilities in Google News introduced last month. Integration with Google Plus Circles means easier following and engagement between authors and readers. In other words, they're once again just making it that much more difficult to avoid Google Plus.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't blame them. I think it's brilliant.
I know. It's going to keep coming. Google Plus is just going to keep coming, and we're going to get tired of reporting about all the stuff that happens where, oh, now you can do this with Google Plus, or now this has been integrated into Google Plus. It's just going to keep rolling out I'd say the first half of next year. All the time we're going to be talking about it, to the point where we're just going to not realize that just piece by piece, Google's taking over our lives again.
Yeah, we just believe it's again. It's always.
Yeah. It's kind of like what they did. They used to have the Google Dance algorithmic updates like every 6 months. You'd say, oh, there's a Google Dance. And then all of a sudden it was just a continual update. That's what they're doing with this. Now it's not all of a sudden Google's doing something. It's just a one long continual, we're taking over your life. You will
be annihilated. This shows how brainwashed they got us. I actually go, yay. Now, a follow-up. I think it was the last episode or the one before, we were ranting about how Bing had dropped the Black Friday and Cyber Monday websites because they said it was full of spam. And
right on
the particular days they were supposed to launch and really make their money. And these are legitimate sites that are talked about by the Wall Street Journal, you name it. They're quoted. They have good stuff. And we were a little irate because it appeared that Bing had dropped them and replaced it with their own ads. Now, they've kind of done a classic Microsoft move. They're not saying that they're wrong, but they did reinclude the sites in their index after an algorithm, quote-unquote, update.
Which happened to be after the shopping cycle was over.
Exactly.
Interesting.
And to quote the Search Engine Land article where I saw this, it says, several of those dropped off. I've wondered if this was all part of an attempt by Bing simply to drive more traffic to a special section of Bing Shopping that was ranking, and still does, in the first page of listings for searches at Bing for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Bing has denied this. Duh.
Wow. So what would happen if they did something like that? Let's say it's, you know, right at the height of political season. It's, you know, the U.S. presidential election is a month away. And all of a sudden, we don't think Obama's website is authoritative anymore. We're going to get rid of it. And all of a sudden, oh, we're sorry. We'll bring it back. We're bringing it back the day after the election.
Yeah, exactly. Where does it stop? Yep. You know, if someone looks like they're spamming, that's what they're going to say, right? They're just going to say, "Oh, it'll look like they're spamming," but they're just something they didn't agree with. I don't know. It's creepy.
Yep.
Very creepy. What have you encountered this week? Anything new? Anything?
I tell you what, I really like all the stuff that Google's doing with HTML5, and they had a new Easter egg come out this week. If you type in "let it snow," it'll go to the search results for that snow, but they'll start doing snowflakes down your screen. And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of neat, just kind of casual. But then I went to another tab and started doing something else and came back a little while later to that same tab. And the Let It Snow screen had frosted over. So the whole screen was like this frost, and I could wipe it off like you do on your windshield, and you could see what's underneath it. And there's just like a little button, which is normally your search button, turned into a defrost button. You hit the button and defrosted your screen. So it was like an Easter egg within an Easter egg. It was kind of cool.
Yeah, I really appreciate when a company can have some fun, and they mm-hmm. do. It's one thing I've really enjoyed about Google. It just looks like a fun place to work for reasons just like that. You get to do these neat things. I mean, there's so much brain trust there. It probably took minutes to work that up.
Oh, I know, exactly. You know, 10 minutes from the design department and, you know, half an hour of a couple coders. But still,
or they ended up just, oh, hey, I made one of those scripts when I was a kid. Let's use that one.
If they made – and it's probably not too far off – some of those guys are so young, they could have made HTML5 scripts when they were a kid.
Speaking of young, this is an envy moment. You know, our time is coming. But Pete Cashmore from Mashable, I really admire that guy. But anyway, he's 26 years old, and he was just he was rated number 12 of the top 30 under 30 on Forbes. Uh-huh. You know, they figure that Mashable, which is close to Huffington Post in terms of traffic, 20 million page views, nice. Or you know, something like that. It's just ridiculous. So Huffington Post sold for $315 million around the same time of the growth of Mashable. Nice. 26. God.
Very nice. Yeah. It does kind of make you sad that, you know, we're a bit older than that, but
just a bit.
Yeah. But hey, I'm happy doing what I'm doing. So, you know, that's what counts.
Well, at some point I'll run into him here. He comes to Victoria occasionally because his girlfriend is from here. So,
oh, nice.
I didn't realize he was Scottish too. Anyways, off topic here, but that's where he started Mashable. I had no idea, in Scotland by himself.
I didn't either. That's kind of crazy.
And hey, and another bit of trivia for Christmas. Did you know that Jingle Bells is actually a Thanksgiving song?
I guess I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, it was a Thanksgiving song, and people loved it so much they started using it for Christmas. There you are, everyone.
I'm trying to figure out why you use bells and Thanksgiving.
Everyone loves shopping online. Well, I'm going to tell you what I tell my golf buddies when they buy clubs. Stop searching for coupon codes. Download Capital One Shopping to your computer. Capital One Shopping instantly searches for available coupon codes and automatically applies them at checkout. Plus, it's free, and you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. That's like hitting a hole-in-one without even trying. Capital One Shopping. It's kind of genius. What's in your wallet?
Savings and available coupons vary.
Thanksgiving. Why do you jingle bells all day long during Thanksgiving?
They were strange back then. I don't know. Well, we're strange now. We just don't know.
Was it the Canadian Thanksgiving?
Oh, yeah. I don't. You know, I'd be a good question. I wonder if we even had Thanksgiving until in Canada. Like, did it start in the States? I'm not sure.
I know we are totally way off topic of SEO. But
yeah, let's get back to it here.
But I have to ask because you brought it up. So the United States Thanksgiving is based on, you know, the Pilgrims and the Indians getting together to celebrate. What's the Canadian Thanksgiving based on? Is there something behind it other than just you wanted a holiday too?
Well, and that's why and that's why I think that it has a big relation to the States, because I, as far as I know, it's always been that as well. It's we're celebrating this poor massacre of Indians. It's just the saddest thing.
It's yeah, different, Ross. The Wikipedia says it's a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest. It's the end, the close of the harvest season. That's the reason for the Canadian version of Thanksgiving.
There we go. I like that one a lot more.
Okay.
All right, fine. So okay, let's get to the show.
So, yeah. What else I was sort of wondering is, like, you see so many things. We had a good talk last week, actually, about a website, about design and layout. But you see so many things during the week. Has there been any sort of stunning finds or anything that you can share with the –
not that I can talk about in public.
Well, get away from everything. But one of the things you and I were talking about was the layouts of a large website. And
That was a great conversation.
I really enjoyed that. Thank you. And what I did to everyone was, I know John's way more experienced with the really, really big websites. And I've got a couple big ones right now I'm working on. And I thought, well, let's run to buy him. And he had some fantastic advice. And it's obviously a long conversation, but a couple of the tips he gave me were really good about doing the picking a mode of navigation and sticking to it. And, you know, it's funny. I think I've told that to clients, I don't know how many times, but hearing it from you at that point put me back online again too. It's just bizarre. But can you explain that a little more?
So, yeah. So the example here was a large e-commerce site that had numerous ways, three exactly, ways to search for products. And it's a car part site. So you could search for it based on the type of car. You could search on it based on the type of part, or you could just search, put in like an item number or something and do a search. Well, that's great to have all three variations for a user, to be able to use. So search, typing in a part number is really, that's not going to be search friendly, so to speak, because search engines do not want search results in their search results. So you kind of have to exclude that one from the search, the search results kind of navigation. So that leaves you with two. you know, and you have to kind of pick one at some point. And I think what we ended up with finally talking about, Ross, was that if you have, let's say you search by the type of car versus the type of parts. So if you need a muffler for a 95 Honda Civic, you can start your navigation by drilling down to Honda Civic, or you can start your navigation by drilling down into the mufflers. But each way you go, maybe only two clicks through, those paths of navigation should converge into one path of navigation. So if you go into the auto type, you pick it, you go through Honda Civics, then you pick mufflers as the part type, or if you go into muffler, you pick Honda Civics as the auto type. From that point on, no matter which way the user starts, they're both going to be in the same path of navigation. And if as long as that first section where you have multiple choices stays only one or two clicks away from your consistent navigation, it's going to be really, really search friendly. I think the engines will like the site a lot because it passes relevancies from both of those paths into your final path, if that made any sense at all.
You did, and I think to sort of bring another perspective to or another way of explaining it, one element that really got me, I felt like I was going through schooling again. It was good. I needed a refresher. Was if you have, you might want to offer a lot of different types of navigation because you want to help and please everyone. The key is that when you use any these other forms of navigation, have to again tie into the main one you've chosen. So. And I believe you said a lot of this. Again, I'm just going to sort of put it in other words. In this case, you would click on the one example you used was mufflers. So you go to the homepage, mufflers. Then you are forced to choose the chassis of your car, you know, the model. Bang. Then you get pulled back into this chassis page. And you find mufflers. And it just makes it that much easier for the search engines to follow this because they're going through the one main funnel that is search engine friendly to the max, whereas all these other different formats of search are search engine friendly to a degree, but at some point you're going to have to interact with it to get to the other page, which is the page you're marketing the most of. I don't know, are we having a Monday here or what? I hope that made sense. Yeah. To you.
I think one of the key things to remember when you're dealing with a site like that, especially a site that has multiple paths of navigation to get to the same point, is your final page always has to have a single consistent URL. I've seen so many sites over the years that based on how you get to the content, the URL changes. You may end up on the same exact page, but if you drill down from direction A or direction B, you might end up with different URLs depending on how you got there. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens, you have to end up at a consistent individual URL for that page. You can't have multiple URLs.
Yeah, amen. That's very important. And you know, the canonical tag is something we've discussed before. Remind everyone what that is again. That's a tag you add into the header of your page, which tells Google tells the search engines for that matter, because I think they're finally all covering it, the big guys anyway, what they should consider the ultimate URL for that page. So if they go there with other extraneous URLs or other code is attached to the URL, they're going to concatenate it. They're going to say, okay, no, we're not going to listen to all this other garbage. They're going to make that page the sole page, so everything gets consolidated to that one.
Yeah, it's very interesting you brought that up, because I actually did. We have our weekly team meetings on Mondays right before the show, actually. And today I did like a 15-minute training specifically on the rel equals canonical tag. And the interesting thing is that I reminded my team was that a canonical tag is a suggestion to the engines. They take it very seriously, but it's not a directive to the engines. So they're not going to guarantee that they're going to, you know, concatenate everything onto this page. There's a lot of other factors that could override that. And I've seen it happen once or twice, but again, it's a suggestion. And it's also interesting to note that Bing and Google differ in the way they suggest you use the tag. So Google says, you know, both of them say it's not going to hurt you. You can use it without it hurting you. But Google says, yes, you can put it on any page of your site. You can even have a canonical tag concatenate back to itself. So almost so it can say, yes, this is my homepage, and you can put the canonical tag on your homepage so it points to your homepage. Bing says do not do that. Bing says there's no reason to have a canonical tag point to itself. So there's definitely some conflict in the way the engines use that tag.
That doesn't make any sense.
I know. I lean on the side of you know, go ahead and put it on a page pointing to itself. A, because that's Google says it's okay and they understand it. And B, if you have, say you have an affiliate program that they put affiliate tag URLs on the end of a URL when they're sending you a link, by having that canonical tag pointing to itself, it basically strips off those parameters on the end of that URL. So I think there's lots of good reasons to have it pointing to itself. Bing is just kind of out in its own world again for some reason.
Yeah, I think there might have been something missed there, because the canonical tag is meant to be on the page to tell the search engines what that page URL is supposed to be. So it always has to refer to itself.
Not really. I mean, if you think about it, if I have a, you know, we're talking about uses of the canonical tag.
Oh, so I see what you mean, right? Because the other ones, the other pages would refer to it. So, I get you.
Let's say you're using it because you have an article that you wrote that's split up into three pages. And the second and third pages would have a rel equals canonical tag pointing back to the first page. So it's the first page of the article that gets all the weight in the engines. And you tell the engines, this is the one that we want you to give the most weight out of those three.
Right. Well, let's take a quick break. And we get back, one of our writers asked some page one results mentioned what's happened to the base href. And that's an interesting question. But let's take a break and we'll be right back.
SEO 101 will be back right after recess.
From the creators of We Build Pages, experience the power of the Internet Marketing Ninja. An exclusively trained army of nearly 100 in-house ninjas. Mastered in the arts of social media, local marketing, content creation, SEO reporting, and yes, link building. The Internet Marketing Ninjas will release a new version of their legendary tools to the public. Visit imninjas.com. The ninjas are coming.
Oh yeah, my day is done. Time for happy hour.
You're already done for the day?
Yeah, because I use certifiedknowledge.org. Their PPC tools literally save me hours every day.
How do you keep on top of all of Google's new features?
Easy. With Certified Knowledge, their interactive learning modules keep me up to date. And if there's something I don't know, I can watch their video lessons without having to hunt around the Google help files.
Great. I'm ready to expand my knowledge.
Hi, I'm Brad Geddes. I'm the only leader officially supported by Google to teach the advanced track of the AdWords Seminars for Success. I personally recommend CertifiedKnowledge.org as your one-stop shop for all your PPC needs.
Learn, optimize, connect. Be smart. Go to CertifiedKnowledge.org now.
Superior affiliate offers, superior affiliate brands, superior affiliate service, the superior affiliate management. Superior Affiliate Management delivers direct, exclusive offers with weekly payouts. Their mission is to ignite your e-commerce and ignite your commissions. Superior Affiliate Brands means our work with the internet retailers top 500, as well as new brands, thanks to their full-service agency and CPA network. Superior Affiliate Service means lifetime bonus referrals and personal VIP treatment. When you hear Superior Affiliate Offers, Superior Affiliate Brands, Superior Affiliate Service, that's SAMOPM.com.
Hi, this is Ross Dunn and
this is John Carcutt
from SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. From our families to yours, we want to wish you a safe and enjoyable holiday season.
Have a happy holidays, everybody. Get the good gifts this year.
From all of us to all of you, webmasterradio.fm, wishing you happy holidays and a prosperous new year.
Okay, class, take your seats and no talking. Recess is over and SEO 101 is back in session, only on webmasterradio.fm.
Hello and welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm. My name is Ross Dunn, and I'm the host of SEO 101 with John Carcutt from Advanced. I lost my notes.
Not a taping, Ross. Not a taping. Ross.
Yeah, thank goodness for live, huh? Oh, dear. From Advanced Digital. Thank you. And that's, you know, I had to do that for the last, you know, the last show of the year.
So for the rest of the show, can I change your name to Ross Dunce?
Yes, please. And you know, I 10 shades of red right now, so that's, you know, making up for it too.
And you're doing this when your son Xander's listening. Come on, what kind of example is this?
Yeah, exactly. So we were talking about the base href. This is old school stuff, but page one results was mentioning that. And this is, whatever happened to that? And why doesn't that seem to be the same thing as canonical?
Is that Sean at page one results?
That's a good question.
Sean. Anyway, but go ahead.
I had to look it up. I haven't used the base href. I don't think I ever did. But if I did, it's been a long time. And the definition of usage is that the base tag specifies the base URL or target for all relative URLs in a document. So it's, from what I understand, that's just, I don't know how to put this in English, but essentially it just specifies that this is the base URL to everything that you're linking to. So all the internal pages, if you're just doing a slash news, slash blog, or whatever it is you're linking within the site, you're telling the search engines that that's for www.stepforth.com.
So if I remember, probably about 5 or 6 between WWWs and non-WWWs, that's probably where.
Try not to laugh, man. This is so.
Where's our producer when you need him?
Okay. About half a second, I can. I think things should be all squared away now. Let's get ourselves back to Ross Dunn, John Carter.
Welcome back to SEO 101 on webmasterradio.fm with John Carcutt, the Director of SEO and Social Media for Advanced Digital, and myself, Ross Dunn, CEO of Stepforth Web Marketing, Inc. See, I've got my script in tow now.
Can I just play this on behalf of the last 2 minutes of the show? Thank you.
This is so perfect for the last episode of the year and 100th episode.
Yeah, this is classic. So we were about the base href, and I was saying that years ago people were trying to use base href in conjunction with redirects to fix WW versus non-WW canonical issues. And if you find some old information on the web, they might be talking about that. It's no longer an issue anymore because we have things like the canonical tags, and people understand redirects much, much better than they did then. Base href is strictly a programming type of command. It's a tag in your page specifically for programmers. Ross, you're absolutely right. It's for relative URLs. So if you make your base href your homepage, any of those relative URLs that you have, and again, we're talking geeky here for you programmers and coders out there, anything that begins with a dot, dot, slash or a slash is going to reference back to your base href, which is your homepage. So you not, instead of going back one directory, you'll go all the way back to your homepage if you code it right.
Page one results, shame on you for asking such technical questions. SEO 101,
damn it. 101.
Oh, dear.
Just this way, if you are a beginner SEO and you hear about base href, just don't worry about it.
Oh, hopefully Dana didn't fall off her bike from laughing so hard from this episode. wouldn't be very good for sprints today.
I could see her running into some guardrail or something.
Hi, Xander. Really? Daddy's not this bad usually. Okay.
Wait till you get drunk in a hot tub with a cigar. It gets even worse.
Oh, brother.
Now, Dana.
One thing that Google did, though, which was pretty cool, is to give some relevance to text on your page. You can specify street address. Essentially, it's just to make it really easy for the search engines to understand what they're seeing and grab it and use it. Well, that's just one example. You can use it for e-commerce. You can use it for so many different things. And it's barely being scraped, all the potential for it. Now, as a result, they've released these 10 videos, which give you all the different steps all the way down to troubleshooting. And I think it's a wonderful thing for them to do. And maybe, just maybe, we'll start listening.
Yeah, I'm really scared to talk right now.
I know.
Because the echo is back. I'm just saying. I actually ran across an issue with Rich Snippets just today with our sites, because I found we have directories on our sites that for businesses, and we're showing we get a page listed for a business type in our business directory, and it's actually showing Google Maps pins under our description of our page. So let's say we have a listing for plastic surgeons, and it'll actually show under there two different plastic surgeon names with their address and phone number, and an A and a B. And the A and the B tie specifically to the local map that's on the page under our listing. So not only is that business showing up in the one box on the organic search results, also under our listing. So it's really pretty amazing that they're tying those Rich Snippets to the local search box on our page, on the page we're showing up.
Well, I got to say, I was so distracted by that. I'm not sure what you said. Oh, dear. So, yes, it's pretty amazing how much you can do with it. I know that there's a lot to be had from it. And I think that as soon as the search engines start to see everyone using it, it's going to make a bigger or a greater effect in search results. And it's going to make things look a lot better as well. I just wish it would... I don't know. I wish there was a little more education around it, and I think this is a very good start.